we today are corporately worshiping together on the fourth Sunday of Advent, or His arrival, signified by the lighting of the purple angel's candle of peace. It is during this time that we continue to remember and celebrate the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as diligently preparing ourselves to always be able to say, Lord, I am ready for you to come again. Today's sermon is entitled, Waiting for His Arrival, Trust. Or another word for trust is faith. In our scripture, a passage is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Please, if you will, follow along with me in your Bible as I read, and as the choir sang portions of Matthew's account of Jesus the Christ. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, which is Isaiah 7:14. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Let's identify for a moment who Matthew involves in this first miracle in the New Testament. Well, we have a virgin by the name of Mary. And then we have Joseph, the son of David, to whom Mary is betrothed under the law. Third, we have the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, we have an angel of the Lord. And then we have the Lord Jehovah, God, Yahweh. Sixth, we have Jesus, which is translated, the Lord saves. And then there's mention of the prophet, Isaiah, who calls Jesus Emmanuel, which translated means God with us, but also can be translated God within us. Now, in waiting for Jesus' arrival in the first coming, many prophets predicted his coming and trusted God to save his people. Who were some of those in the Old Testament? Well, we mentioned Isaiah, we had Jeremiah, Daniel, Malachi, Zechariah, Hosea, Micah, and Samuel. As well as in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. And certainly we have mentioned quite a few times in the Psalms. Now, the seven characters referenced in this passage demonstrated different levels of trust that would usher in the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Now, in our short time together left this morning, may we take a quick closer look at Joseph, who stands in our passage center stage. This righteous man trusted to obey the command and promise of God at the risk of disobeying the tradition and the Torah, which is the law of Moses. Now, customarily, there are three stages in a Jewish marriage. The first one is the two families agree on the union. The second one is a public announcement made that effectuates a betrothal, which is an agreement that is more than just a modern-day engagement, in that it constitutes a contractually binding promise to one another before God. Side note, when Sherry and I got engaged, we actually went through the ritual of a betrothal. A lot of times people, I mean, it's kind of old to think about it, but it is a beautiful time there in that betrothal period where you are basically deemed husband and wife. And then the third is the couple marry and then they live together. Now, the appearance of Mary's unfaithfulness under Jewish civil law would have allowed Joseph to harshly, publicly or quietly divorce her and then give the Jewish authorities the legal right to stone her to death as prescribed in Deuteronomy chapter 22. In the midst of this publicly humiliating and shameful state of affairs, Joseph had to either choose to obey the angel's command or follow the law. His action revealed four qualities I want to leave for you today that are necessary in your life to constitute genuine trust in any relationship, which in turn yields, among other important spiritual fruit, the fruit of peace. The first one that I'll spend a little bit more time than with the others is the characteristic of righteousness. In verse 19, it said that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, the definition of righteousness in the Old Testament is a fairly relative concept. The Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible puts it this way: righteousness is the fulfillment of the demands of a relationship, whether that relationship be with men or with God. And each of these relationships brings with it specific demands, that fulfillment of which constitutes righteousness. In other words, there's no norm of righteousness outside of the relationship itself. Ron, what do you mean? That sounded so Greek to me. Well, consequently, for example, a person can be deemed righteous if they keep their agreement to, let's say, buy and sell a piece of land. But at the same time, they may be deemed unrighteous before God if they're taking usury or overcharging advantage of the other person, especially if it involved a fellow Jew. Now, on the other hand, in the New Testament, righteousness consists of and depends upon the trusting acceptance of God's saving act in Jesus Christ, whereby man accepts the restored covenant relationship with God. You see, Joseph was such a man who accepted God's plan to restore the people of Israel to a covenant relationship with God. But it wasn't just an intellectual understanding. It involved very close to home. It involved where they had publicly announced that they were getting married, and oh, by the way, she's pregnant. This brings a tremendous amount of public shame. Keep in mind at that time, in one of my earlier sermons that I've done here, I talked about this patron-client relationship that the Romans had set up in that area of the world. That this public shame is a huge thing. But it directly involved his betrothed and her unborn child, who, by the way, will save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph was commanded to live by God's revealed will. Except, he is to accept this newborn child as his own and adopt him into the Davidic line as an authentic son of David. Do you see that in the passage? Joseph, son of David. You are to name him Jesus. Because it's a patriarchal situation where it had to be the father that declares, this is my son, this is his name, he is a part of my line under the law. As followers of Jesus, we too are to pursue righteousness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Repeat these basic essentials over and over again to God's people. On a side note, I'm just carrying on repeating it to you, so we all better listen. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking, which chips away at the faith. It just wears everybody out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of. Lay out the truth, plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know. If they're not backed by a godly life, they accumulate, listen, as poison to the soul. Run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, peace, joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved in inane. Another word, translations uses that word, inane, foolish. Another one calls it silly, and I'm a little bit embarrassed, but another translation calls it stupid. Stupid discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool. Working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. That's straight from Scripture. So this is not just good advice. It's a divine mandate for holiness in both our thoughts and in our behavior towards one another. We are to stay vigilant you are to stay vigilant in your self-awareness and your situational awareness as an ambassador for God. Each and every day, take personal responsibility. You take personal responsibility for yourself in what you say and in what you do. Keep pursuing righteous living. Jeff did a beautiful board for me that's in my office of a saying that I did. And Jeff, I absolve you from doing another board, but I could not help myself in preparing the sermon in modifying it a little bit. Pray before you think. Think before you say. And when in doubt, say nothing at all. I was going to put in there, keep your mouth shut. But I didn't think that that sounded very pastory. So I put in there, say nothing at all. The second one, righteous living, being righteous, a second character is discretion and sensitivity. Did you notice that the narrator and the angel are the only ones who speak in this passage? God, through his messenger, commanded Joseph, "You shall." And then the third character is a responsiveness to God. Joseph actively listened and with righteousness, sensitivity towards his beloved Mary, he obeys. Righteousness, responsiveness to God. The fourth one is self-discipline. Joseph chose to have no marital relations with Mary until after Jesus was born. But don't stop there. You've now been educated to understand that the obedience wasn't just to have no physical relationships with Mary after marriage. But catch this. It's the next phrase. He was to name the child. He was to name the child Jesus. The centerpiece of this story includes the naming of Jesus by Joseph, which incorporated him into the line of David. Joseph changed his original plans and proceeded with the marriage out of obedience to God, yet quite probably at the disapproval of many others. I am sure he did so because he knew what right was. Joseph obeyed God in order for Jesus to be adopted as a true Son of God. But Mary? Mary's obedience allowed Jesus to be born the Son of God. What can we learn from Joseph's example today? Don't avoid doing what is right because of what others might think or might say. We must choose to obey God rather than seek the approval of others. This truth will always bear you true and everlasting peace. As I'm coming here to a close, I want to read from you what Jesus said in Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. We are to follow Joseph's example and live righteously out of love and out of obedience, rather than with an attitude that is a legal compliance. How? How can we do that? How? Our righteousness must first, number one, come from what God does in you, not what we can do by ourselves. Two, be God-centered and not self-centered. Three, be based on reverence for God and not the approval of others. And number four, how can we be righteous? Go beyond keeping the law to living by the principles behind the law. If I can have you play for us, I thank you so very much. Joseph was called a righteous man, not having a righteousness of his own. But as Paul states in Philippians 3:9, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. If in your heart you believe that Jesus is the Christ who gave his life to set you free from the bondage of sin, if you believe that, it will result in righteousness. But wait! In Romans 10:10, it mandates that we must also confess with our mouths that He is Lord and Savior in order to result in salvation. The consequences of trusting Jesus as Lord will result in being justified by faith, Then and only then can we have peace, our candle of peace, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe, but you have never confessed Him with your mouth, settle it today. I love this phrase. This phrase. This phrase is something I hope to say every single day. Today is the day of salvation. You come.